Welcome back to The Drive here on TSN 1200. We'll go back to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, and pleased to welcome into the show one of the hosts of the Bob McCowan podcast and a two-time boss of Dean Brown, John Shannon. Good afternoon, John.
Graham, how are you? Hello, Dino.
How are you?
How are you, Shannon?
I am doing fine. Thank you.
Now, what year, I told Graham off the air, I said, I've worked for John twice. The first time, and I can't remember the year or maybe 2 years that the CFL wanted to start its own TV network, CFN, and you hired me to be the Ottawa reporter. So I was never actually on TV. I just did the interviews, but I could not remember the year. When was that?
87 to 90.
87 to 90. There you go. And then, of course, you hired me at Hockey Night in Canada. Do you remember the first game that I ever did that you assigned me to?
Are you serious?
I'll retell the story. John Shannon calls me up one day, and I answer the phone. Hey, and we used to routinely talk about, even though I didn't, we would talk about what was going on. At the time, John was the executive producer of Hockey Night in Canada. And so he called me up one day, and he said, listen, I'm just wondering why you don't work for me. I said, well, John, it's pretty simple. You've never hired me. He said, well, you want to work for me? I said, well, I'll have to ask my bosses at the radio station. So I said, I'll call you back. So I called the radio and said, yeah, sure, that'd be great to have one of our guys in Hockey Night in Canada. And he said, great, your first gig is next Saturday. This was a Thursday. He said, Saturday. And I did. And, you know, when you think about it, now that I'm older, I'm going, my God, the lineup that you put in front of me was I was doing a Calgary-Montreal game in Montreal. And in the booth with me, it was three in the booth. It was me, Dick Irvin, and John Davidson. It's like All-Star Alley. It was unbelievable.
Well, we wanted to make sure you didn't screw it up.
I just thought you wanted an extra play-by-play guy in case I went down.
No, but, because invariably Dick would have said I could do play-by-play. I said, no, you know what? What my real belief was that you needed depth at every position. It's kind of like having 9 defensemen for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And you needed to be in a position to win, you know, because in those days, Dean, if you recall, there were 8 Canadian teams in the NHL, and Hockey Night in Canada owned the rights to all the Canadian games. So in theory, we could have had 8 different series going at any one time, and we needed depth, and so we needed to find people we trusted. We needed to find people we thought were pretty good play-by-play guys. And once we got past that list, we hired you.
Perfect. And I sucked as much out of the trough as I could get.
And by the way, you did a hell of a job, and I'm proud of you, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. One of my mentors in this game. I really appreciate everything you've done for me.
And for the record, Graham, there are moments while Dean and Gord are doing games, even to, you know, to this fall, this spring, where Dean will get a text from a certain audio listener from Mississauga, Ontario.
Walking his dogs, listening to the broadcast.
Yeah, why did you say that? Or that was really funny, or good job.
We probably spent our first, probably 30 of our first hour on the air today talking about Dean making up stories on the air and getting questioned from Vancouver Canucks PR about why he called Roberto Luongo a vampire and Rod Brind'Amour collecting toasters and stuff like that. So it doesn't surprise me one bit.
Well, you know, Dean's good at his job and has been a valuable asset for the Ottawa Senators, particularly in the days when the team hasn't been very good, because I've always maintained that a good broadcaster will insulate a bad team from its fan base, and that's what Dean's supposed to do.
Wow. I never knew I was supposed to do that, but thank God I'm doing it.
Yeah, well, Gord's doing it, too.
Yeah, Gord's doing it, yeah. Now, you're a broadcaster now, and, you know, you're on the Edmonton broadcast a lot. You got the podcast every day, and you guys are doing great guns with that. We want to talk not just about broadcasting, and we're both going to ask you stuff about what you think now that you're out of that side of it, about the network TV deals and how those are going and where they're going. But you spend a lot of time watching the Edmonton Oilers specifically. You watch them all, but I know how many people deep inside that organization you know. Did you see this happening? Because I think, Shanny, most people looked at that series and they thought, there's no question that, you know, Edmonton has 2 of the 3 best players in the world, but Calgary overall is a more balanced, a better team overall, and it's just not turning out that way.
Well, it's the human aspect of sports, Dean. And what I would tell you is that as the series started, you could talk about Tkachuk, Lindholm, and Goudreau and say that they were going to be important. And you could talk about Leon and Connor being good. But in the end, you'd point your finger at which goaltenders were going to show up. Was it going to be Mike Smith or Jacob Markstrom? And truthfully, that's exactly what's happened. The roller coaster that is the Battle of Alberta is whether Mike Smith's been any good or whether Jacob Markstrom's been any good. And all you have to do is look at the massive mistakes that both of them have made and the impact that they've had on the games that have been played. And right now, the Edmonton Oilers have had less mistakes and better quality goaltending overall from Mike Smith than the Calgary Flames have had from Jacob Markstrom. And I don't think anybody going into the series would have predicted that.
No.
And that has been the key. And when you look at last night, down 3-0, the only way that the Calgary Flames get back into the game is because Jacob Markstrom played so well late in the first period and through the second period before the Oilers took two stupid penalties and the Flame power play took over. So it has gone, and it has been simplified to me to the goaltending of both of those hockey clubs.
And Connor McDavid adds another 2 assists. He's up to 25 points to start the playoffs. Only Gretzky and Mario have more in their first 11 games of a postseason. He's on an absolute tear, and I think if anyone was questioning who the best player in the game is, I think he's answered that. If there were any doubters to start this playoff. So have you been blown away from what you've seen from McDavid? It seems like somehow he's even reached a higher level.
And Graham, I think he's reached a higher level not because of his offensive prowess. These numbers are one way. I think what we're finally seeing out of Connor McDavid, we're actually seeing two things. I think we're seeing him play a 200-foot game. I think he's much more physical and much more aggressive on the ice in his own zone. And I think that playing defense is something he's finally, whether it's an epiphany or a realization or some sort of switch has been flicked, that he's playing that, what I would describe as a Sidney Crosby style of game at both ends of the ice, which is so valuable to a team in the playoffs. And I think we're seeing a little bit of signs of true leadership coming through. I think you see him on the bench much more active. I think you see him interacting with his teammates. Connor and even fans going back to seeing him when he was in Erie and he would go to the old Civic Center and play against the 67s, he was really a quiet guy. He would just go out and lead by example. Well, you can't do that in the NHL. You have to do more than that if you expect the other 11 forwards and the D to follow you. And he has been much more of a coaching factor to his teammates, particularly in this series. You see him on the bench talking much more to Evander Kane or to Dreisaitl or to Yamamoto or Hyman. And I think that that's another dimension that McDavid has brought, and I think that's a big aspect of why the Oilers are up 3-1.
John, do you think we all, maybe I'm speaking for everybody, but that's just what I do, do you think we all kind of underestimated what Kane was going to bring to the table? Because I think I'm pretty right in the middle of what most people thought about it. You know, he might be able to help a bit on the ice, but he can't help it be an off-ice distraction. Well, he hasn't been, and he's been more than just an addition offensively. I think that a lot of people are just like me, really underestimated what he was going to bring to the table.
And I think, Dean, that comes from the fact is that we, as much as we think we're hockey fanatics and we watch a lot of hockey, we didn't watch the San Jose Sharks every night. I don't think we understood what his role was on the Sharks. I did not realize, and I should have, how physical he is, how big he is. We all know that he has a pretty good set of hands and can shoot the puck. Now you put him with McDavid, and McDavid puts the puck, or Dreisaitl puts the puck in the exact right spot, and Evander Kane can take advantage of that. But he's created a lot of space for both Dreisaitl and McDavid on the ice because he's so physical. There's lots of people I think you have to give credit to. I mean, obviously, Kane deserves a lot of the credit. He changed agents you know, Dan Milstein, I'm sure has had an impact on Kane and advising him on how to act. And I think you have to give Ken Holland, who took a lot of criticism, including from guys like me who didn't think the signing was the wise one, more for off the ice than on, that Kenny Holland took the risk and is now paying the dividends and now is going to have to face the riches of what do you do with Kane once this season's over? Do you try to re-sign him? And do you have enough money to re-sign him? Mm-hmm. Or are there 30 other managers out there? Because I'm not going to put San Jose on the list to re-sign him. You have 30 other managers out there saying, hey, we can lick our chops and try to find sign Evander Kane to a contract.
Yeah, it's that's going to be very interesting. Now, you know, we mentioned it off the top. You're the former executive producer of Hockey Night Canada, the former vice president of broadcasting for the NHL. So what do you think of the new contract down in the States? What do you think of the NBC out and the ESPN and TNT in? And how do you view what the transition has been this year? What's your review of all that?
Well, first of all, I thought NBC always did a great job. They worked there, you know, they were there for 10 years and worked their tails off and created a brand within the hockey sphere that was really solid. And they deserved a lot of credit for it. But they weren't ESPN and they weren't TNT when it comes to attracting non-hockey fans. And so much of the success of what ESPN and TNT do, much of their success is the ability to talk about hockey when hockey's not being played. You know, the ESPN's drive of what SportsCenter does and telling the sports fan in the United States, this is an important event, you should watch it, is so valuable to the success of what the coverage is like. The fact that TNT, on the off nights of their games, are the Western Conference Finals of the NBA with Ernie Johnson and Shaq and Charles and Kenny. And so there's promos and discussion of hockey on those nights too. And so that there's a chance a basketball fan will tune in and watch the NHL game on the off night. That's really, at this point, in my opinion, the unbelievable value of what the two new contracts have done for the NHL. And I think we're seeing that in the ratings that both networks are reporting, that they're higher than expected. So that's the positive aspect, I think, the biggest positive aspect of what the new ESPN and TNT deals have done for the NHL.
John Shannon is our guest, and you mentioned the Inside the NBA, which, in my opinion, is probably the best panel anywhere in North America in any sport. And would you think that, or would you feel or agree that maybe the NHL, or what they're doing with the NHL product, obviously it doesn't quite touch that yet, but they're trying to model it after that in terms of the personalities and some of the things that they do during a broadcast?
Well, I mean, I think that's definitely the model, Graham, that TNT is trying to do. How can you go wrong with something as successful and award-winning that the NBA side has done? The issue, and you know, I guess the only way they really made it work was if that Ernie Johnson hosted hockey and Charles Barkley be part of the panel on hockey all the time with Wayne. That might have been the way to do it, but that's not the way they're doing it right now, and they're trying to find a fit and trying to find bodies that are comparable on the hockey side. The most interesting part of that, Graham, is, and Dean, you can, I think you can support this as much as anybody, is that Barkley and O'Neill and Kenny Smith, they're not afraid to voice opinion, and they can back it with their resumes. And it's a giant difference between the world of basketball and the world of hockey. In the world of basketball, when you're a superstar, there is a whole tendency to say, hey, look at me, hey, look at me, hey, look at me, I'm a superstar. Well, even the superstars in our game don't say that for the most part. So it's a difficult transition to make to allow people on a television panel where there's an expectation of, I can be critical because of my resume. that doesn't really translate well to our world in the hockey world, because for so much of a person's career in hockey, you were taught and trained, and you see it today in interviews with the greatest players that we have. You're not supposed to talk about me. You're not supposed to talk about I. It's we. It's us. And that's a learning curve for both the hockey people on the panel, and it's also a learning curve for the TNT television people. So that's something that is still, I think, I would describe as a work in progress.
And the other thing, too, John, is that you've seen all the studies and surveys in our business. The number one thing for either listeners or viewers in all the focus groups and all the research that's done, no matter what the sport is, what the thing that fans want first and foremost is for it to be fun. And they have fun if the hosts are having fun. And let's face it, part of the draw of that show is the fact that those three guys are not scared at any time to have fun. And it makes it a fun broadcast. And they also obviously interject with a lot of analysis and those things. And sometimes in our sport, one of the hard things to do is to get former players to be on camera or on the air to loosen up and have a bit of fun and be natural, because that is a huge part of successful broadcast. And with that basketball one, that's one of the big reasons why it's so successful. It's how willing those guys are to show their real selves and to be funny and have fun.
Well, you know, in the restaurant business, they say they name the three things that are the most important to a successful restaurant. It's location, location, location. Well, in television, on a TV panel, it's chemistry, chemistry, and chemistry.
Yeah.
And if you don't have chemistry, you have nothing. And you have the viewer at home feeling uncomfortable. And you have the viewer at home saying, well, this isn't any good. I'm going to change the channel. Well, you know, Shaq and Charles and Kenny, with Ernie Johnson being the catalyst, have unbelievable chemistry, are not afraid to laugh at each other,
yes,
are not afraid to criticize each other. And at the end of the night, they have fun. And listen, let's put it in terms of what we used to have in our country, and say what you want politically and say what you want about the woke society. Ron McLean and Don Cherry, for the most part, had chemistry. And that chemistry lasted a long time. I'm not sure when it finished. I'm not sure when it ended. But, you know, they had chemistry, and people wanted to see that chemistry. And that chemistry does not exist anymore, I don't think, on network television for the most part.
Speaking of chemistry, what's the latest coming up on the Bob McCowan podcast?
Oh, well, listen, today we have John Paul Morosi, our regular baseball guy. We're going to be talking about what's right and wrong with the Jays and where the hitting's going and the future of the game and what's going to happen with, the umpiring and a few of the new rule changes. Plus, you know, JP views himself as a hockey guy, so we end up talking about the Red Wings coaching change and who's going to take over there. But the rest of the week, we're going to do our regular thing. We've got Ray Ratto from San Francisco. We're going to be talking about the Warriors tomorrow. And then on Friday, it's a good old hockey roundtable to talk about what's gone on in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
What are you going to do with all the money you're making doing that podcast? are you going to buy a team? What are you going to do? It's millions. What are you going to do with all that money, Shanny? Come on.
You forget I'm married.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I retract all that.
That's right. All I know is that, you know, when I go to Costco, we have to call it the $700 Club, Dean, and I was just going in for sliced cheese.
No. You didn't know you need 20 cans of soup. You didn't know.
No. Who knew? Tires. I have tires.
Great stuff, John. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us, and I hope you have a great rest of your night and watching. If the Avalanche could get over the second round hump as they try to eliminate the St. Louis Blues from the second round, up 3-1.
All I know is that when Dean Brown phones, I answer.
Well, thanks for the 15 minutes that turned into 30 that I asked you for. Much appreciated, Shanny.
Well, it's not as if I don't like to talk.
There you go.
Okay. It's okay, man.
We'll talk to you soon.
Right on.
There goes John.